Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Good morning, everybody on YouTube, Facebook, in the house. Amen. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Hey, we are what? A Bible-based church. Our pastor is Jonathan Ford. We will have a good word this morning. Amen. 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 I'm going to read our scripture. I'm going to open our prayer. But I just want to say, hey, it's going to be a good word this morning. And what was interesting for me today, and I'll just, we're just sort of getting into things. Things can get what? A little chaotic on a Sunday morning. Because I didn't know I was going to be liturgist, but that's fine. Because I'm ready. Right? But I taught my Sunday school class. I was taking my time. All of a sudden, I was like, uh-oh, I got to get there. But when I walked through those doors, I had to sit down and let me settle myself. Amen? Let me get ready to hear a word. Let me get in the presence of the Lord. Let me settle all that stuff that gets in the way so that my focus can be on the Lord. Amen? Because it is so easy in this world, what? To have our focus taken somewhere else. We were just dealing with that this morning. We were talking about government in the teen class and how all this chaos can get in our way. Thank God we made it here. Amen? Thank God there's a way to watch online. Amen? Because unfortunately, as I was driving here, just because of where I passed on the way, I started thinking about some people I know that are not here. Because the streets took them. And I'm talking about where I drive the church every day. I was like, whoa, I remember what happened on that corner. But thank God. Thank God we're here, right? We're here to hear a word. We're here to give a word to somebody else. So when the pastor's talking to the young man, hey, hallelujah. Thank God that there's a word ready for us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read our scripture so if we could all stand and then we'll open us up in prayer. But we're going to be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. Amen. Amen. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Let all your things be done with charity. Amen. Charity means what? With love. Amen. Let all of our things be with love, right? That we should stand. Hallelujah. Let us go to prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Because, Lord, no matter what has been going on in this world, your word is still true. You are still, hallelujah, your presence is all around us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That we can call on you, no matter what the situation or the circumstances. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because of your love. Hallelujah, Lord. You said if we would just humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, for how you have provided for us. Lord, for the little things. The world is getting in the way. People are worried about what? Their benefits, because they wouldn't be able to eat. But that conflict has been resolved. But there are still people that need you, Lord. Equip us to help them, Lord, as we go through this holiday season. Turn our hearts and minds to be in tune with the needs of others. Hallelujah. That we would show your love. That we would give your word. That we would be strengthened in our own faith to trust in you, Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice you made for us. We thank you, hallelujah, for you have never turned your back on us. When we didn't know who you were, when we didn't want to listen to you, you still stood there in love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that this day you would anoint our pastor, that he would deliver your word, and that it would be written on the fleshy tables of our heart. A word that would be stitched in. Hallelujah. A word that would carry us through each and every day. A word that would strengthen us. Your word of truth. That no matter what the situation, we could always go to that word that you have delivered unto us and apply it to that situation. And realize that you saw the situation before it happened. That you gave us the solution before it happened. And that solution is just trust in you. Put all of our trust in you, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to assemble. You've got more than two or three gathered here in your name. So, Lord, let us feel you sitting right next to us on the pews. Let us feel the warmth of your love and your presence as we listen to the word you have prepared for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we are going to have a musical selection. I don't know if I see our organist, but I do see Sister Leah, and I know she's getting ready to what? S-A-N-G, right? Now, I know S-I. We getting some S-A. Amen? Amen. So, and let us all join in, because what? Singing is rejoicing. Amen? So we're not here to watch a performance. You can come on up, Sister Leah. We're not here to watch a performance. We're here to what? Celebrate the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen.
We are so grateful for what the Lord has done. And even as we continually think about this season, and we're just going to sing together as we worship the Lord together. Amen. Just want to praise you forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Oh, blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. Oh, I just wanna praise you forever and ever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Oh, blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, for blessing. That's right. Oh, oh, just wanna praise you forever and ever, oh, for all you've done for me. Oh, blessings and glory and honor, it all belongs to the Lord. And thank you, Jesus, oh, for blessing. We're going to declare it again. Oh, forever and ever and ever, oh, for all you've done for me. Oh, blessings and glory
and honor they owe. It all belongs to the Lord. Blessings and glory and honor they owe. It all belongs to the Lord. Blessings and glory and honor they owe. It all belongs. It belongs to the Lord alone. Blessings and glory and honor they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, for blessing me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessings and glory. Amen. If we can all stand, I'm going to bring out our pastor to deliver the word that God prepared for us from the very beginning. Amen? Amen. Let us receive our pastor, Elder Jonathan Ford. Amen? The jersey's all right, but he's good.
Bibles. Today I'm going to continue my series. If you've been with us over the past several weeks, I'm preaching to young men, about young men, through the eyes of a young man here in the Bible, Samson. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Judges, the 16th chapter, and also to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 20, okay? And if anyone is in need of a Bible, feel free to just slip your hands up. I'm sure one of our ushers will get you a Bible. As is my custom, I love for the audience to read along with me out of the Bible. I think there's something happens when you can see it for yourself, read it for yourself. And so, out of the Old Testament, again, the book of Judges, the 16th chapter, I'm just going to read a few verses there. And again, this is all in the life of Samson, right? And then we're going to add to the witness out of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 20. Okay, everybody in good shape? Good. Hey, before I get into it, I do want to acknowledge today, you guys realize we're having community day right after service today, and a number of things are going on. We're going to be doing our final harvest out in the garden right behind us, pulling up sweet potatoes, collard greens. They have different herbs and stuff, but we're going to pull up everything that's in the ground today. So looking forward to your help and participation with that. In addition, we're going to be giving away turkeys this afternoon to families, and so want you to be a part of that. And then also the First Lady is upstairs, and they're preparing for a Family Literacy Day that is going to take place on the 2nd and 3rd floor. So I want you to not only be a part of it, but also to be a part of the welcome committee as those in the community join us this afternoon. But the folks I wanted to acknowledge first was Deacon Aaron Abrams. I wanted to publicly thank him and his employer, Giant Supermarket. They are the sponsor of the turkey giveaway, so they provided the turkeys. So if you see him around, thank him for that. And then also to Melissa Lee. Melissa's not here today. She's actually away celebrating her wedding anniversary. Thank God for them. But her prayer group donated some Walmart gift cards to the church. So they're also a sponsor of the activities happening this afternoon. So I just want to thank them for their generosity. They just saw what we were trying to do as a church, and they found out a way. They found a way where they could participate and help. So, again, you see them around. You won't see Melissa and Josh today, but next Sunday you can thank them as well. Amen? Okay, good. Let's get down to it. Judges 16, right, and then Proverbs 6 and 20, okay? And so let me give you the subject, because sometimes I jump in and I fail to give my subject. So hopefully they got me up on the big board. What I want to talk about today is the tales of temptation. The tales, T-A-L-E-S, the tales or the stories of temptation. Okay? And now we're there. Judges 16 and 1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts and pulled them up by the bar and all. And he put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Okay? That's what we're working with, those three verses. Okay? Now I'm going to add to the witness out of the book of Proverbs. Okay? Proverbs 6 and 20. Let me say this for the benefit, especially of our young men who I'm talking to these past several weeks. If there is one thing you could do to help yourself as a young man, as a young woman, read the book of Proverbs. You hear what I'm telling you? It is loaded down with quality wisdom for young people. But you never hear about it. No one talks about it. Very few preachers preach out of it. But I'm telling you, if you want to do your, if you say, man, what if the pastor never done anything good for me? Here, I'm doing something good for you today. I'm encouraging you. I think it's 30 or 31 chapters. Read one chapter every day. You'll be so far down the road. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, just read it. This, I mean, the writers and participants in this book of Proverbs have given incredible wisdom, specifically targeted for young men. Okay? We're going to peer at a little bit of it here today. But again, I just wanted to say that if you're a young man, if you're under 40, you need to just get 30 days, whether you start at the beginning of the month, middle of the month, wherever. Every day, just read one chapter out of the book of Proverbs. I'm telling you, you'd be so far down the road, you won't believe it. Proverbs 6 and 20. My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instructions are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman and from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. But whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor will he get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased through your giving many gifts. Hey, hang out a little bit. Keep going. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding your closest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, for the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, and I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along on the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house, and in the twilight, and in the evening, and in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. And she was loud and rebellious, and her feet would not stay at home. And at times she was outside, and at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. And so she caught him, kissed him, and with impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me, and today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry and colored coverings of Egyptian linen, and I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. Only a little bit further. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her. And as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, and your will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for allowing us to look into the life of Samson. We thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge of God provided to us as people generally, but specifically to young men. Thank you for the words of encouragement, the words of instruction, the words of correction, that if we heed them, will lead us to eternal life. So, Father, I pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would give us ears to hear. I pray that you would give us eyes to see. And above all, I would pray that you would give us a heart to believe and obey. And Father, I pray now for the life of every young man here today. Those here standing in the sanctuary, those joining us remotely via the internet. Father, I pray for our sons, grandsons, our nephews, our godsons. I pray for the young men of God. Though you have your hand on them, yet the seductress calls to them simultaneously. And so, Father, I pray that you would keep them in the hour of temptation, that they not yield, but remember the word of God, the presence of God, and the power of God that is within them. So I thank you for it in advance, that these men will grow up to be mighty men of valor. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Again, just looking the book of Judges, just reading those first three verses is all we're going to focus on this morning, and some of what we've picked up out of the book of Proverbs. Judges 16, in those first opening verses, it describes Samson's moral weakness and his vulnerability to temptation. Specifically, his trip to Gaza, where he went into a harlot. When the Philistines learned of this, they planned an ambush. But Samson, upon waking in the middle of the night, tore the city gates from their hinges and carried them to a distant hill in order to escape. This short passage illustrates how his sinful choices led him into danger, even as his God-given strength allowed him to escape. So how do we begin? The tales of temptation. One of the things that I believe is a challenge for us as men, specifically as young men, is that there is a part of us that recognizes, rejoices, and relates to God. I know, and you're a witness to that. Why? Because you're here. You're not here. No one's got a gun to your head. No one's twisting your arm. I believe you're here because there is something in you toward God. And your response to it, in one way, is what? You come to church. Right? We respond to it in that we come to church, we read our Bibles. While I gave that out as advice to everyone to read one book of Proverbs, I believe a number of you as young men will do it. Not because I said it, because I'm but it's something in you towards God. There's no doubt about it. Some of you as young men, even without me being in your home, me being on in school, some of you, if not all of you, are going to find some time to pray. You just talk. Why? But I believe because it's something in you towards God. Right? If it was no call, no attraction, no pull from God in you, you would not engage yourself in any godly activity. Why? There's so much more you could be doing besides that. You follow what I'm saying? And so while yet we're called of God, and if you remember how I started this series out, how Samson's life was impacted by God even before he was born, that in his mother's womb, God began to reveal his plan and his purpose for Samson. He began to tell his mother and father, you must raise him a certain way. Why? Because he's my mighty man of God. He's a Nazarite unto me. So we have that. We're familiar. Look at all these young men in church today. But yet, even though we're pulled towards God on one hand, yet as men, we are pulled away from God on the other. Right? Look, I got enough men. We can put the sermon over. It happens to us. Right? Yes, we're mighty men of valor. Yes, we're men of God. Yes, we're in church. Yes, we read the Bible. Yes, we pray. Yet we sense and know there is something in us that is attracted to God, but yet there is also something in us attracted to other things. That's where we find the tales of temptation. The other things, and I told you as I started the series, and I just keep working it Sunday after Sunday for men and for especially for young men, one of the things that we are most attracted to is women and sex. Top of the list every day of the week, no matter what day of the week. As men, we're drawn to it. We're tempted by it. Now, I explained to you before, there's nothing wrong with that if done in the order and in the way God has prescribed. That is not an evil in us. That's the way God made us, right? To be the moment Adam saw her, he loved her, right? This is woman. He said, I can relate to her, right? Right? Because his problem was, God said it's not good for him to be all alone. All alone meaning he had no one like him. All of the animals had a companion. They had other, but Adam had no one to fellowship with. And he wasn't perfect enough or holy enough to fellowship with God up in heaven. So when God would come into the garden and fellowship with Adam, when they got finished hanging out, God would leave and Adam would be left what? All alone. So God said, well, it's not good for him to be alone. He needs companionship. That companionship comes in the form of a woman. So it's a good thing, right? A woman is a good thing. The Bible says it in this manner. He that findeth a wife findeth what? That's just the word of God on it, right? But yet as men, yet as young men, we can be pulled away. Our attraction to God is met and equaled also by our attraction to women, right? And the temptation becomes when we want to be with a woman outside of the way and the manner in which God has prescribed. If anything you get out of the life of Samson, you understand that what? Samson had what? Women problems. He loved women, but more importantly, he loved the wrong woman. And we done spent the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks talking about it, right? Down in Timnah, shouldn't have been there, right? His mother and father cautioned him, said, this is probably not the right one for you. But he said, no, I want her what? Anyway, right? He saw how that affected his life and how ultimately what her own people did to her, right? You would have thought that he would have learned something or would have derived something from that and say, you know what? My mom and dad was right. You know what? The law of the Israelites was right, and that we shouldn't marry outside. Maybe that. But now we find him what? Here he is, Judges, and he says, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. So verse 1, this is what you get out of verse 1. 1, Samson was in the wrong place. He was in Gaza. Right? Gaza meaning he was in a Philistine territory. Even though he was an Israelite, a judge in Israel, yet he found himself, what? Wandering in Gaza. If I could help young men, if I could just say this, don't go to the wrong places. You know, let me say this to young people. Get this. Nothing good happens after midnight. And you may not believe because you're young and you want to stay up. And young people want to stay up because they're curious about midnight. Because we never allowed them to stay up. Got to go to bed at 10. Got to go to bed at 11. And so it makes them think, well, what's going on after 10? What's going on after 11? Right? And they're curious, and so they want to stay up. But as someone who has stayed up after midnight, I'm telling you for now, there is nothing good happening after midnight. Right? This guy, Samson, should have been somewhere in Israel. But he found himself where? In God. He was in the wrong place. Right? And then not only was he in the wrong place, this is what happens when you go to the wrong place. You end up meeting and hanging out with the wrong people. The Bible said he was in Gaza, and it was there in the wrong place that he met what? A harlot. Right? A harlot simply means a woman not meant for you. Right? What did I preach a couple Sundays, right? The right wife and what? The wrong girlfriend. Right? Yeah, I'm trying to give you this type of advice so that you can avoid engaging as young men with wrong girlfriends. So that you as men can make better choices in terms of wives. So what? You don't have to deal with the damages that can cause. Just like a good woman can bless you, a bad woman or the wrong woman can hurt you severely. Do you follow what I'm saying? Right? Look at somebody say, preach, Pastor Ford. No, nobody else will preach about it. I preach about it. He was in the wrong place, Gaza. He was with the wrong person, a woman not meant for him. And then lastly, he was there for the wrong reason. Are you with me? Let me see how many adults I got in my church. Samson went to Gaza, saw a harlot, and he went in to her. Right? If you got it, say I got it. He didn't go in to look at her Instagram account. He didn't go in to see what she had on Snap. Right? Samson went in for the wrong reason. As a young man, I'm just going to give it to you straight. Avoid the wrong places. As a young man, avoid the wrong friends. Right? Stop dating someone else's girlfriend. You may not realize it, but I'm preaching. I'm so far down the road. You know what I'm saying? And here it is, church. This is what we got to deal with. Resist the temptation to have sexual relationship before you're married. I'm not saying don't have sex. All I'm saying is just wait to have sex. Wait how long, Pastor? Until you can find what? The right woman. Right? Sex with the right woman is far better than sex with the wrong girlfriend. I got somebody who reacted.
And I know you don't want to blow your cover, and I know you're in church, and you want to look cool, and you don't want nobody to know what happened and how it happened. But I'm just telling you what I know to be. That's all the prophet is trying to do in Proverbs, is trying to tell his son, learn from my mistakes. That's all Proverbs is. He said, I'm just telling you what I know, what I've lived in my own life and what I've seen in the life of other young men, promising careers, promising futures, all of it knocked off the rails because I was in the wrong place, right? Ended up hanging out with the wrong woman, right? We got involved doing the wrong stuff. Are you with me? Despite his great strength and God's power, Samson repeatedly demonstrated a moral weakness, particularly concerning women. His visit to a prostitute in Gaza shows he was susceptible to temptation, which is seen as a form of a blatant sin. Right? Yielding to temptation. Right? Men, we need our strength not to fight, not to do damage. We need our strength to resist temptation. Right? We're using our strength. We're just using it for the wrong thing. Not to fight, not to show who's bigger, who's better. We need our strength so that we can resist the temptations of the world. That if they get us, you read what we just read in Proverbs, they get you. They're going to pull you down and pull you way off course. Right? Look at somebody say, stay on track. Right? Because I've already told you repeatedly in the past Sundays, God has what? A plan for you. Right? Started in your parents. Started in your grand. God was working on you then. Right? Now that you've come into the world, God is waiting to reveal his plan and his purpose to you. Right? So that you can see what you can be in God. Here it is. James. I'm going to pull this up out of James. The book of James, chapter 1. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Are you with me? Okay, everybody look at me. All of us are going to face temptation. Male, female, young, old. It'll be with us the entirety of it. We're all going to face temptation. But the goal is, in order to win against it, you've got to be able to endure it. Right? You can't say, God, don't let me see it. Right? No, you're going to see it. But God, give me what I need. And even though I see it, I don't go after it. Even though I see it, I don't engage in it. I can see it, but why? Lord, teach me to endure temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Right? So, like I said before, God's got something for us. Right? Look at somebody and say, God got something for you. Verse 13, hear this, right? This is what church men say. This is what all you guys say. All of us in church. This is what we say. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Right? Look at somebody say, don't say that. Right? Isn't that what your grandmother taught you? Oh, watch your mouth. Don't say that. Don't say God did it. God didn't do it. You did it. You went to Gaza. You stayed out after midnight. You hung out with, you knew who she was when you met her. You the one who slid in her DMs. God didn't do that. You did that. Right? So don't say God. whatever. You either believe it or don't. But God, when I am tempted by, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone to do evil. Right? Are we clear on it? If you got it, say, I got it. Look at somebody and say, God didn't make you do it. Somehow when we get caught, when it gets tight, somehow we will find a way. We'll either blame God, we'll blame the church. You'll blame me if I preach that Sunday. Oh, the pastor didn't make you do it. You had already made up in your mind to do it when you came to church that Sunday. You already knew what you were going to do. You already knew where you were going to go. Right? Why? Because we yielded to temptation. The key to life, success in life, you got to be able to endure temptation, right? Because you can endure it. He says what? There's a crown of life for you. Now, here it is. I'm going to give you this here. I was going to save it till the end, but I'm going to give you this one. Because this is how you should end the sermon, but I'm going to give it here now. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Everybody go there. This is the sermon right here. Right? All right, Pastor, don't yield to temptation. All right, yield. Don't. You got to endure. How do I do it? How do I? Okay, Pastor, I hear what you're telling me to do, but you haven't told me how to do it. All right, here it is. And I'll make a deal with you. Everybody look at me. If you get it, and I mean really get it, don't fool around. If you really get it, I'll quit. Service will be over. I'll just stop and say, because if you got it, no need to keep going, right? Here it is. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And all of the young men, I want you to write this 100 times this week. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Faithful to what? His plan. His purpose for you. I told you all last Sunday when you heard me preach. In spite of what Samson was doing, God what? Stuck to his plan. Never threw God off course. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to endure and bear it. Right? There, you want that? Okay, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but how do I do it? Pastor, how do I do it when all of my other friends are doing it? I mean, here's the answer. I'm going to read it again. This is the answer. There is no temptation taking you such as is coming to me. So, okay, here's the first thing. Get this. You're not the first one, nor are you the only one. I wish I had a real church to preach in. Right? Right? We always like to feel, oh, nobody else is going through what I'm going. My trouble is unique. My trouble is special. No, Pat. Ain't nobody else dealing with this. Ain't nobody else was raised like I was raised. Nobody else was abused like I was abused. No. My situation unique. Now I'm just telling you what the word of God said, there is no temptation. It's common to man. It's not that no one else has not been tempted or has faced trouble like you. The only difference is you just don't know it. And oftentimes, this is my experience, oftentimes, they're sitting right next to you. Going through the same thing. Oftentimes, worse. But as men, right, we know what we do. We don't talk about nothing. We don't talk about the good, and we don't talk about the bad. And so even though our friend, even though our brother is also suffering, we'll never know about it. Why? Because the enemy uses that against us. What? To isolate us. So that we feel, man, no one else is going through this but me, right? But it's not, right? He said, no temptation. Sure, you got that. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. God is the only one capable to keep you from throwing in the towel. God is the only one who stands between you and suicide. Our young people are leaving. They're leaving this world. They're leaving this world because they don't believe anyone is going through what they're going through. They're leaving this world because they can't find anyone sympathetic to their unique situation and circumstance. They're upset, they're frustrated, and they don't have viable outlets to express themselves. So they check out. And I'm here to tell you this Sunday, the only thing between you and checking out is God. I'm preaching out of your Bible. It's the only thing, right? He said he will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able. Look at somebody and say, I can handle it. Not because I'm Samson, right? Go the other way. Tell them, I can handle it. I can handle it. Not because I'm David. I'm not the sweet psalmist of Israel. I'm not Samson where I got all types of strength. No, I can handle it because God is with me. Even when I am wrong. That's where the devil likes to get in. You done made a mistake. Now you know God don't want you. Right? Right? You know your family don't want you. Not after that. You remember what your uncle did. Now you dummy done went and did the same thing. So you know they're through with you. He isolates us. Tells us that no one else wants us. That all of our hopes, all of our dreams, because we made a foolish mistake, are now gone. Right? But I'm here to tell you, God is with you. Listen what the text said. God will not allow more to come upon you than what you're able to bear. Don't focus on what you're going through. Focus on what you could be going through. Yeah, what I'm going through is bad. But then, you know what? God shielded me from some other stuff that would have took me out. It would have just blown me dead. I mean, I would have just been, I'd have been flatlined. God stepped in between, right? He told Satan, he said, look, I'm going to lift the hedge up, right? But don't you kill my boy Joe. No, I'm going to let you do some stuff. And I'm going to let you have some stuff. But you can only go so far. Why does God only allow the devil to go so far? One, because he knows how much we can bear. Now, but moreover than that, God knows that when the trial and tribulation is over, God knows that he's going to bless you. Now, God is going to reward your faithfulness. God is going to reward your ability to fight temptation. Now, God is going to reward every time you went to him instead of her. God is going to bless you. You just got to hang in there. That's all you got to do. Are you with me? Good. Here it is, verse 15. The Gazites were told, Samson has come here. They surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night. The gate of the city. They were quiet all night long. And they said, in the morning, when it is daylight, we'll kill him. They saw where he went. They knew he was in the wrong place. They knew he was with the wrong people. They knew he was there for the wrong reason. So I want you to see this. When your enemy sees that, it's a sign for him to attack. The Bible says that your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What most people don't know, unless you watch those nature shows about the animal kingdom and all that type of stuff, you watch that stuff, you would learn that the lion, and all of those big cats for that matter, you know, all those, he's smarter than he is stronger. You understand what I'm saying? We look at him, we see the lion, and we think, oh, the king of the jungle. He's what? He's strong. The lion, he's powerful, right? And all of that is true, but I want to, if you watch those shows, you will understand, he's actually, he's more intelligent than he is strong. Because if you watch those big cats hunt, very, very rarely is it a power move. You watch the big cats, they do what? They watch the herd all day long. They don't attack. They don't do that. They lay out in the brush and they watch. They lay out in the brush and they observe. Look at me. If I don't say anything else that's helpful to you as a pastor, let me say this. Your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, is watching you. He's watching you to see if you will go to Gaza. He's watching you to see what kind of friends you take. He's watching you for the type of illicit behavior you may engage in. And he's what? He's just watching. The older you are, the more the devil knows about you. Because what? He's watching. Not attacking. Not jumping on your head. He's laying in the brush, and all he's doing is watching. Watching you as a teenager. Watching you with your first girlfriend. Watching you for your second wife. Just, he's just watching, not saying nothing, not doing nothing. Just watching. So that when he does attack, it is a strategic attack to hit you where you are the most vulnerable. And he knows because he's been watching. Watching. He knows what really hurts you. He knows the secrets no one else knows. Watch this. Save you and God. That's how he gets us. They said, we've got him. Why? Because he's in the wrong place. Why? He's in our territory now. We couldn't just run up into Israel, but now he done come over in the Philistine country. We got him. Why? He's with the wrong person.
He got them now because he's doing the wrong thing. Meaning what? He's let his guard down. So now we've got them. And I'm walking this point for one reason and one reason only. Because you need to understand this. It's not simply that, oh, I'm out of the eyesight of God, so let me do my thing. One, you're not out of the eyesight of God. This is what the witness says. The witness says this, Rob. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. This is out of your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. Observing both the good and the evil of every man. So you're not out of God's sight. You may think you are, but you're not. But you're in plain view of the enemy. And all the enemy is doing is taking notes. Waiting for the right time. So that he can catch you when you are most vulnerable. Let me say it another way. See if this does anything in the crowd. He's waiting for the moments in your life where you feel the farthest from God. I wish I had a real church. That's when the lion attacks. You know, the lion never attacks the herd when all of them together. But he waits for the weak one or for the young one to get what? Separated, lagging behind, not following their mother's voice, saying, no, we're moving forward. Stop drinking. Stop getting great. Come on up. And it's when you're separated. Are you with me? Young guys, it's when you get separated from the church. It's when you get distanced from Christian men. It's when you get distant from your family that now creates the opportunity for your adversary, the devil. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. 1 Peter 5:8. Right? Here it is. Be sober and vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. I'm giving you another how-to. How do you resist them? By faith. Right? Right? Not a mind game, not a trick, but by faith. Lord, get me out of here. I wish I had a dollar for every party I went to that when I got into the, I done paid to get in, but when I got in the party, that my spidey sense started tingling. And something inside of me said, bro, you better turn around and get the hell out of here. Because something is not right. Look at somebody and say, I got spidey sense. I may not have common sense, but I got spidey sense. And when my spidey sense starts, oh God, help me, help me. Why? Because God is for me. Said, if you ignore what I'm trying to say, you ignore what I'm trying to do, you're going to go too far. And now your adversary is going to find you vulnerable. Countless times. Where were you last night? I thought you were. I was. But I left. Boy, you ought to be glad you did. You know they started fighting. You know so-and-so pulled out a gun. They started popping off. We had to take this guy down to Hup. He got shot. This chick got punched in the face. And you don't understand, I could have been right in the middle of it. But he said, no, you go that far, it might be too far. But something in me towards God warned me
Are you following? And it was by faith. And to leave, especially a party that's jumping, you got to leave by faith. If it's jumping, if the mommies are there, if it's going on, you just don't walk out of there speaking in tongues. I love Jesus. He loved. No, 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 no. You got to leave by faith. Lord, get me out of. Boy, I wish I had a real church. My real church would help me. Here it is, verse 3, and I'm finished. This is it. I'm finished with it. Verse 3, and Samson lay low till midnight. Get that. I'm talking about the spidey sense. Here it is right here. Listen what they said. They said, we're going to wait till the morning. Right? Right? Listen, listen. Now I'm preaching to my young men. Right? But I'm going to give something to the young ladies here. Watch out for guys who don't stay till the morning. I wish I had a real church. That's all I can say. Watch out for guys who want to come over, but once it's over, they want to leave. Am I helping anybody? All the young men been getting blessed all week. I'm trying to help the sisters out. Watch out. All of a sudden, they got somewhere to go. At midnight, all of a sudden, they got something to do. You didn't have nothing to do. Whatever. Whatever. The Gazites said, we're going to wait till morning. And Samson probably would have also waited till morning. But the Bible said, what? At midnight. That's that spidey sense. You thought I was just making stuff up. Samson also had spidey sense. Something stirred him that said, Samson, you need to wake up now. He didn't know the Gazites were encamped around him. She didn't know. But God knew. And God stirred Samson to the point where Samson woke up. And he arose at midnight and took hold of the door to the gate of the city, the gatepost, pulled them up and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Samson's supernatural strength is highlighted when he woke up at midnight, tore the city gates off their hinges, and carried them away to escape the planned ambush. So many times, we won't know till we get to heaven. So many times, the devil had an ambush waiting for you. You never saw it coming. But thankfully, God stepped in the middle between you and your adversary. And God said, you are not getting him today. God stirs Samson. His strength renews. And the Bible said he just lifted up the city gate, carried it away. He discombobulated their plan of attack against him. And I'm trying to tell you, that's what God has done. That's what God is doing. And that is what God will continue to do in the life of everyone that loves the name of Jesus and are called according to his purpose. He nullifies the ambush, right? Young men, I want you to see, you're Samson, right? All of you guys are Samson. He was young, just like you. had the same proclivity, just like you. What? But God protected him and wouldn't allow the enemy to kill him prematurely. Are you with me? Here it is. I'm finished. We got there. Psalms 34:17. I invite you to go there if you have your Bible still. I'm going to close it out right here. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry out. The Lord hears and delivers them out of all. Look at somebody and say, all. He delivers them out of some of their troubles. Most of their troubles. This one and that trouble. But the psalmist said, the righteous cry out, and the Lord delivers out of them all. Look at somebody and say, I got out again. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Those that are sorry about what they did. Sorry about why they did it. Sorry about who they did it with. He said a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He would in no wise forsake. It's okay if you're really sorry. But watch out for young men who only act like they're sorry, who only pretend like they're sorry. The Lord is not on your side. The Lord is not your God. But real repentance, real sorrow, it draws God into your life. Verse 19, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord, he delivers out of them all. Look at somebody and say, the Lord got me out. The Lord brought me out. I could have been destroyed. Should have been. Had lunch with a friend this week. Reminiscing. Hadn't seen him since college. One of the things we talked about is how guys we know from college are dead. Guys my age. Guys I played football with. Guys, I joined a fraternity. My age. Not my dad's age. Not my grandfather. My age. 57. Gone. It could have easily been me. We went to the same places. We know the same people. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers out of them all. That's what I want to tell my young men. That's what I want to tell my young girls. One mistake does not mean it's over. I'm preaching this series of sermons to potentially help you avoid making mistakes, right? Especially in these sensitive areas. But even if you do, God tells me to tell you your life is not over. He says, our relationship is not through. We read in the previous verse, it said what? But God is faithful. Even when we are what? Unfaithful. Are you guys with me? He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll put your life back on the road to destiny. What I mean by destiny is what God has for you. Right? He'll do it. So it'd be great if you're here today and something I have said or something you have read out of the Word of God helps you make better choices. Great. Maybe you're here today and the choices have already been made. Decisions and deals have already been done. But the Lord delivers out of them all. Your life in God is not over. It's not just that it's not over, but in many ways, it's just beginning. Now God says they're ready. Now I'm going to show myself strong in their life. Sometimes trouble comes to point us back to God. See, this is where I should have been all the time. I got distracted as a teenager. In my 20s, I started doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing. Got down a path, went down a road. But God didn't let it kill me. Why? Because in my 30s and 40s, God was going to turn my life around. And God, who would have ever thought, who would have ever imagined that He would be the one? He's the very one God chose. And He's going to use your story, your tales of temptation. And let me say this while I got your attention. Let me say this. Don't be ashamed to tell your story. I told you that's how the enemy works. He likes for you. Oh, that's your story. Keep it to yourself. Whatever you do, don't tell Sean what you've been through. Whatever you do, don't let Sean tell. No. Let's keep all of that. But the Bible says this. They overcome by the words of their testimony. When you're willing to open up and share with another man, to share with your right wife, your good girlfriend, the things that God has brought you through. Oftentimes, your stories lead them to salvation. Your stories are far more effective than my preaching. My preaching only works after you've told your story. Because why? What? It opens their heart. And now they're ready to what? Hear and receive the gospel. Don't be afraid to tell your tales. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Come on, let's stand up. Let's get out of here. God is using you just like He used Samson. He's using the ups and downs of your life, the tales, the stories, the ones we're proud of, the ones we're not so proud of. God said, I'm going to use all of it. I'm going to use all of it. Your testimony is going to be great. And as a result, it's going to draw a great number of people to the cross of salvation. Well, if you went through all of that, how did you make it? You mean to tell me you got divorced 3 times? How do you do that? How do you make it? How do you come back? Tell them. Don't be ashamed. And don't be ashamed to tell them I made bad choices. Right? I hooked up with the second one because I was in the wrong place. I shouldn't have even been there. But what God brought me out. And in spite of what I have done, and in spite of what others have done to me, God says, I got a plan for you. God says, I'm getting ready to do more at this stage in your life than I've ever done before.
He says, I didn't quit on you. So don't you quit on me.
Am I helping anybody this Sunday? Raise your hand if I don't need to know what it is, but just raise your hands if you have tales of temptation. Raise your hand if you got some stories of some stuff you did. No, we're not going to talk about it in church because I can't blow your church cover. You're still Mother So-and-so and you're still Brother Chim Chim and you're Deacon Flip-Flap. And I don't want to blow your cover. That's not the kind of pastor I am. But we can all admit we all got tales, stories of being in the wrong place. We all have stories of when our spidey sense tingled and we ignored it. So this is not a dancing Sunday. This is not a shouting and dance Sunday. That usually come the other Sundays. But this is us realizing how much God loves us. Just look at what we're reading about Samson. Multiple times, Samson should have been dead. Multiple times, multiple occasions. Yet God kept stepping in. My mighty man of God. No. I'm going to accomplish my will in this life. In spite of his choices, decisions. So if you're here this Sunday, and you recognize that there is something in you pulling you towards God, and today you want to acknowledge God and Christ in your life, I stand as God's man for you. And all you have to do is come today and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Just tell God, I'm a son of Samson. And just like Samson, I've got so many ups and downs in my life. But just like Samson, I realize God's hand is on my life. So if you're here this Sunday, male or female, boy, girl, young, old, black, white, you want to accept Christ as your personal Savior, and simply acknowledge, God, I acknowledge your hand on my life. Now I can see it. Now through the eyes of the Word of God, now I see it. When I was doing it, I couldn't see it. I didn't understand it. I didn't know. I just thought that was the way it was. No. God was working. If you're here this Sunday, I invite you to come forward here to the altar. And I just want to join with you in giving your life to Christ. Are you here? Maybe you're upstairs in the overflow. Maybe you're upstairs helping preparing for this afternoon. Maybe you're on the internet. Today is your day. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this. He says, the day you hear my voice. That's what he says. He said, don't. She may play hard to get, but not you. Don't play hard to get with God. So the day you hear me, hear my voice. What you have heard this morning is not my voice. You've heard the voice of the Lord. It just came through my mouth and through my body. But that was God talking to you. If God's talking to you, I invite you to come and answer his call. If you're here, this moment, this time, I invite you to come forward. No matter where you are, say, I'm coming. I hear God's voice. Pastor, I know I'm a young man. I'm only in high school. But I hear something. All this time, I never knew what it was. I never didn't know who it was, how it was. But there's no denying I hear something, right? You're here this Sunday. Put your hands on your ear. Just acknowledge that I hear something. I hear God talking. I hear God talking to me, even though I'm young. Even though I'm in high school, yet God is talking to me. He's talking to you. You guys are mighty men of valor. Hear what I'm saying? God is working in your life. He's working through your life. You follow what I'm saying? And God is going to bless you, boys. Why? You've been faithful to Him. So many others just opted out, didn't come, went somewhere else. Oh, Pastor, I got to do this. I got to do that. No, 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 but not you guys. He said, no, I'm coming. Why? Because I hear something. God is talking to me. My spidey sense is tingling. And when it tingles in your spirit, it's not the spidey sense. That's the Holy Spirit in you. What the gospel writers call the hope of glory. God is stirring it up in you, in you, and in you. Why? There's a hope. There's a plan. There's a purpose for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is no need to introduce these young men to you. They're here every Sunday. Every altar call they come. Every time for prayer they make themselves available. So Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would begin to open the windows of heaven. And begin to move in and on their lives like never before. God, I'm so anxious to see what you're going to do in the life of all of these young men in the church today. Week after week, you've been pouring into them. Hallelujah to God. And your word shall not return void. So I thank you for Aiden. Mighty man of God, I thank you for Bryson, mighty man of valor. And I thank you for all of the young men. Thank you for Rob and Jasir. Thank you for Tyrone. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of our men, our old men, our young men. God, I thank you for giving us this privilege to be gathered here in this place. And to hear your word. So I put them in your hands, under your care and under your tutelage, that you may do unto them according to your own good pleasure. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Thank you again, Taylor, for your attendance. Thank you for your attention. I'll just close by reminding you, Proverbs, one chapter a day, it'll do you good. God bless you.
That's my drum roll for today. Amen. It's time for the next part of our service, which is offering time and announcement time. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring up our brother Aiden. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Zelle, and also giving by U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. check, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 1913-9. Our Venmo is at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. Our Zelle is at 215-287-6968. For those gathered in the sanctuary with us today, you will find two offering baskets on the side ramp door, one for your tithes/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor through via Cash App or Venmo. His Cash App is $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, and his Venmo is at Jonathan Ford, Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support for our ministry. Also, I ain't doing announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue through via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in our worship from your home. Remember to subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you may be informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Immediately after service, join Pastor and First Lady Ford in the garden for our final harvest and garden cleanup. In addition, we will be giving away free turkeys for Thanksgiving for families in need. First Lady will be hosting a family literacy in the Tide Center with plenty of books and games for kids and adults. November 23rd is Football Sunday. Wear your favorite football Sunday gear. So often children are of incarcerated parents wonder if mom and dad still loves them. The embrace of the local church can change all of this. Taylor, through Angel Tree Christmas, we will help a child and their families know that they are not forgotten, impacting generations to come with love of Christ. How can we help? By adopting one or more children between the ages of 0 and 18 and purchasing one gift for that child. When can we help? Right now. Collection begins today and will continue until Sunday, December 7th. We will distribute interest forms so that you can share your adoptee preference with the Angel Tree Committee. You will be matched with a child within a day or two. Anything else? Yes. We are also accepting donations, gift wrap, and tape. And that is the end of the announcements.
Amen. Keep track of the announcements. Also, with a lot of our announcements, they're on the emails. So as Aiden read a moment ago, if you're not on the emails, let us know. We'll make sure we get the information to you. Amen? Amen. With that, I will call out our pastor. He's going to give us our benediction, and then we already know what we're going to be doing for the remainder of the day, right? Amen.
Thank you for all the men serving today. Brother Paul is at the door. Thank God for him. Deacon Todd filling in. Thank God for Deacon Tyrone serving as my aide. All of the young guys serving. I really, really appreciate your service and what an example you're setting for all of the other young people in the church. I really, really appreciate it. You know, after service, a lot going on. I'm going to ask you, all the young guys, we need you outside. I'm going to be joining you. We got work to do out there. Those who are taking advantage of the literacy program is happening on the second and third floor. So glad for my father-in-law being here today, Mr. Samuel. If you didn't know, he's a master chess player, and he's going to be taking on all challengers today on the third floor. Hopefully you gave all of your money in the offering, because if not, he will take it from you. All right? I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. But thank God for all of you. Okay? So with our hands lifted to heaven, Lord, we thank you. We praise you for what you have done. Thank you for your word today. Thy word is a light and a lamp unto our feet, and it illuminates the path of righteousness which we ought to follow. So thank you for it. Thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we're here together as your people and your children. Go with us. Stand by us. Fight strong. Stand up strong in the life of believers everywhere. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.